Oh, de lumi today should be a schuchli l'nishmas adir chaver chaim alaz of ben shem shenariye, as well as a schuchli l'nishmas of Yaakov Yisuf ben chaim Menachem ben Zionit, should also be a schuch for a refuah shleima for chaim Moshe Yeshua, the mother of chaim Deb ben Rachel, chanelei of Hashem ben Rachel, and Abadatu ben Peril, as well as a schuch for all those that are mother of chanelei of Eretz Yisrael, including everybody who is risking their lives to protect. So we start Ayiz Gimel today. Now Ayiz Gimel is the first topic in Ayiz Gimel, the topic of Geula, and I was going to talk about the idea, really very famous topic, of Tzimtzum Yeshua, the idea of how do you live your life and balance it out with the idea that a person is supposed to always be looking forward to the eventual Geula. He says like this on page 342. Geula, Tiyalav, and Herb Yemenu Amen. We should be zeichet to see the Geula speedily in our days. So too, a person has to believe with a complete belief. And this is considered a fundamental of our faith, meaning that we believe that there is a master plan, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the world and everything happens according to a plan. But that at the end of our journey as a people, there will be this spiritual geula, that we will have this opportunity to reconnect and be davik to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the Shechina, is something that we are missing right now. And he says, it's one of the questions that they're going to ask us in Shemayim on the Yom HaDin. Zimur in Shabbat says, on Daf Lamed Aleph, it's a piece of Yeshua. Do you look forward to the Ula? And he's going to discuss it further in the topic of Tzipor. When we see money on Maimon, which happens to Abu, how can you tell if someone is a Maimon? What are some of the signs? Whenever he speaks of something that's going to happen in the future, he always says that I hope that the Geula comes before this time. So let's say someone's planning out a wedding, and the wedding's going to be in a few months. So let's say someone's planning out a vacation that's going to happen in the summer. When he is discussing that, when he's planning that out, it should always be in his mind and really on his lips. He should always say, hopefully Mashiach will come before this. He shouldn't look to build these large, sturdy houses and these spacious entrance ways with engravings to raise seats and these blossoming flowers, meaning he shouldn't overly style your house when you're living outside of Eretz Yisrael. Now, it's a really balancing act, and you really need to tell you about this. Of course, it doesn't mean that you should live in a shack. It doesn't mean that if you renovate your house and it looks nice, that that is somehow a chesaron and some peace of Yeshua. That's not what we're talking about. But what we are talking about is the excesses. What we're talking about is that if it's sufficient for your needs, a five-bedroom house, even a six-bedroom house, and you just want to build a 10-bedroom house for the kavod or because you want certain status, that's not appropriate. That's already considered overextending yourself for no reason. And that's sort of dropping down roots and making yourself more comfortable here than you need. You have to take care of your needs. Once you're expanding beyond your needs, that already is something that he's saying crossing a line. And says, Kimisha, who not going to leave by the Torah, Yeshua, and Mitzap, and Mita, Yom, Yom. He says, someone who is confident that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring Yeshua will anticipate every day that it should come. Now, it doesn't mean, you know, the story, and there's always this argument back and forth, is it real, is it not real? This idea that Chafetz Chaim had a suitcase packed and was ready to go tomorrow. I doubt that that story is true. Well, for a number of reasons, I'm not going to get into it. But the one thing I will say is, what does that mean, to be ready? It's not that the shofar blows and we got 3 days, I have 3 days to pack. But the idea is that I'm not going to make a long-term plan that could potentially, that's going to give me a reason that I don't want to, I'm going to be disappointed if Mashiach comes. Okay? So I'm not going to sit down and make an investment or spend time building something that is going to just connect me even deeper to Chutzlaritz than I already am. And that's what we're talking about when you're setting down roots and you're using more than you need. If you put down exactly what you need, so you have a five-bedroom house, it fits your needs, Okay, you can have a five bedroom house in Eretz Yisrael too. But if it's you're going to build this monstrosity that is the envy of everyone in town, and you're doing it for status, well, that's something that's going to make you want to stay in Chutz Laaretz and not go to Eretz Yisrael. I think that's the idea. The idea is not that I have to be ready, oh, in a minute from now, I can't make any decisions in life. No, I shouldn't prepare for Shabbos. Why? Because Mashiach might come, right? So the idea is not to paralyze a person and say it's somehow a chisaron if I plan for the future. That's not the idea. But the idea is don't plan something and don't invest time in something that's going to interfere with your desire for Mashiach to come. And I think that's what he means by saying that the story that your Rebbe told you about if Mashiach would come during the World Series and it was the bottom of the ninth, two outs, how many people would say, "Give me Mashiach. I waited my whole life. I'm 43 years old, Mashiach, or 50 years old, however you are listening to me, right? Mashiach, give me 2 more minutes. I just want to see who wins. I just want, it's the last baseball game I'm ever going to enjoy in my life. Could you give me 2 minutes to play?" You know, but again, but that's the test. It's on an immature level, but to take it to a mature level, are you going to build again things that you have here? Fancy cars, fancy clothing, fancy houses. You socialize with certain type of people, and those are all things that you're not going to want to give up because I invested so much time and so much effort, and it means so much to me that that's going to prevent me from wholeheartedly wanting to Mashiach to come. I think that's the idea. It's more an attitude and less a action. Meaning, you can't just look at what someone has and how someone spends money and decide whether they are living their life a certain way. It's more the attitude. What's the attitude? Even if you build a big fancy house, but if it's meaningless to you, and you just do it because it's going to make your wife happy at the Shalom Bayis purposes, but you know, for your purposes, you can drive a Mazda and be happy. So then it's fine. Then it doesn't matter if you drive a fancy car because you're not connected and you're not tied down to the balance. Okay, that's really my own. If you're listening to this, that's my own shot. It's my own take on the story of the Chafetz Chaim. But if you want to have a suitcase packed and that'll make you feel better, then Kol HaKavod, I won't stop. Well, let's continue by 3 says, Karav Yom Hashem. I'm sorry. Yes, the day of Hashem is near when He's going to gather us. Steve made a comment, but if you're listening to this, I'm not going to repeat it. You should have been on. You should have been here live. Very good, Steve. We should get up and we'll pick ourselves up. When Mashiach comes, we'll pick ourselves up and go to the Shem. As we get into the mindset of. Sorry, again, he finishes the point. He says, and if you're really someone that has hope for the Yeshua, this is now he's actually spelling out what I was saying. Don't settle yourself in something that's so extravagant and you're outside of Eretz Yisrael. He said, oh, he's giving another reason. He's saying, forget about the fact that it's going to tie you down. He says, what's the point? To build yourself something fancy when you have a limited number of years on this world and your house is one day going to start falling apart. You're not going to be here. Your children or whoever the next owner is going to tear it down anyway. So if we live such short lives, think about what's it even worth? Why are you even spending time on it? And he says, forget about the fact that we're geirim in America, but we're geirim in Olam Hazeh, even if we are guaranteed and we knew that we would, the Mashiach isn't coming for another Chas V'Shalom. Let's say we knew it wasn't coming for another 30 years. It's still not an appropriate action for a person to live this life. Now he says, what are we really hoping for? Why do we want Mashiach? Now, people struggle with this. And I know a lot of people say to themselves, "I so much tzaras in the world," right? And it's a refrain you hear a lot, and it's just something natural. There's tzaras in the world. We need Mashiach. Why do we need Mashiach? Because Hamas is attacking us. Or we need Mashiach because Nebuch children are very sick in the hospital. And we have all these desires, or it might even be something so small like, I got to get up and go to work every day. I hate my job. And I want to sit and learn. I want all these responsibilities that I have. I want them done. Is that the right approach for a person to want Mashiach? He came at a perfect time of that. So listen to this. He says, Me'achar ki chaye says, because a person's pursuits in this world are meaningless in relation to the plan of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, obey brachas ha'tayva obey yavoyu. It doesn't matter whether a person has good days or bad days and he endures suffering. It's all equal. It's all part of the mission and the purpose. Because really, we don't know what's good. And so when we say, God, I want Mashiach to come because I hate my job or I hate my marriage or I hate whatever it is that a person is unhappy with. If that's your feeling, then the end title of the Mamala, he says, you want to know what the truth is? The only thing that you're accomplishing is that the only good that you can bring to this world is the effort that you put in. It's not appropriate that a person should want the geula in order that his persecution should stop, or whatever situation he finds himself in should stop. Because you don't even know what's really good or bad. The only thing you do know is that I want to do the Ratzon Hashem. That's the only thing. I want to give back the Torah to Hashem. And he says, therefore, that should be the only motivation that a person has for the geula to come. I want the geula. Why? Because I want to be able to give nachas ruach to Hashem without all of the other things that interfere, whether it's batala, whether it's anti-Semitism, whether it's parnasa, whatever other things get in the way, it's not for me. It's, I want them removed. I want the yitzhara removed so that I can give greater nachas ruach to Hashem. The only reason you want is to serve Hashem. And the kavod to the shechina, meaning I don't want the Arabs gone from the Temple Mount, because as a Jew and as a supporter of Israel, it's a smack in the face that there's a mosque on the top of the Temple Mount, because that means I'm doing it for selfish reasons. I want it because how embarrassing it is for the Shekhinah that there's a mosque on top of the Temple. And I want the Shekhinah to return there, not because I want that as a less than 1% population in the world, I want to be able to turn to everyone in the world and say, told you. You guys, for thousands of years, persecuted us and made fun of us, and you looked at us funny, and now we're proven right. That's not the reason. The reason is it bothers you. The Shekhinah is not able to reside in its mouth. And he says here something which it's hard to understand because there is no such thing as pain to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but he puts it kaviyachol in the sense that we can understand. He says, Ad he says, the suffering that God endures when his children are in godless is beyond our comprehension. Again, nobody can possibly cause pain to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a kaviyachol. It means that we should be bothered on our level of understanding that there is some pain and empathy that the Shekhinah is feeling when it's in godless with us. Just to end off, Zech says, when you have this recognition, he says, everything is just follows this idea. And this is really a main idea that a person should live his life with. Every tefillah that you do, every mitzvah that you do, it's not for anything other than I want to give nachas ruach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why do I want Mashiach? Because the Shekhinah is in pain. Not because I'm in pain, not because of anything else that's happening in the world. But rather, it's because I want the Shekhinah and the Kavod of Shemayim to be restored, and I want the suffering that Shekhinah has when we are in Golus to be stopped. And that should be a person's motivation throughout everything that he does in his life. It's such a beautiful idea. I'm sure you guys feel the same. It's a beautiful idea. And it's really something that if we think about, it's also very comforting because, we think about our lives. Oh, I wish my life would be better. Oh, if Mashiach would come, I wouldn't have to deal with all these issues. And the truth is, what we're saying now is, how do you know? How do you know that that's that you're not getting tithe from HaKadosh Baruch Hu right now just because you don't recognize that it's tithe? But it could be tithe right now, and when Mashiach comes, it's not that we want things to be different. We don't. We have no idea. All we want is something that I can recognize, which is that I want the that everyone should know what we say in Aleinu, that everyone will bow down to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and recognize Kol Yoshevei Sevel, and what? That Ein Od Mavada, that God is the only one who's running this.